Hey, hey, you're getting ready to listen to one awesome podcast. Don't forget to share this with somebody. You're going to enjoy this. I guarantee it.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast today. I'm your host, as always, Brother Trevor Dunlap. And today, I've got a real good podcast for you. This is going to be one of those edifying and uplifting podcasts. This is a little bit different for me because I'm going based off of something that somebody else wrote and I'm just recording it because they deleted it because it had a lot of personal things that they recorded. And so they deleted it and they gave me permission to record it. So I'm going to do my best to bring it out in the same anointing that they brought it out. And I'm going to see if I can capture that and bring it to you like it needs to be, and so that way it feeds your spiritual man and encourages you to just keep drawing that line. That's what these podcasts are all about. It's not about me, and it's not about, you know, the views or the listens that I get or the shares that I get. What it's really and truly about, it's about helping you to stay the course, to keep the faith, and run this race with perseverance. Because the Bible says, he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. So that, in my mind, you know, that's, you know, these podcasts, these little YouTube clips that I get, and from the Apostolic Encourager, and, you know, those are what encourage me and keeps me drawing and going and just wanting to more of God. So today, this podcast is entitled Boxes because that's what my friend entitled hers that she deleted. We build our lives. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we come to you today, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to speak into the lives of people, to encourage the people, Lord God. And I pray that this podcast would go to the ones that need it, Lord, that needs encouragement, that's just, Lord, that they just feel like they're down on their luck, like there's nothing that's going right in their life, Lord. And I pray that they find this podcast and that it just that it speaks to their spirit, that it speaks to their mind, that it speaks to their feet and their hands to do your will, to walk in the path that you have directed us in, Lord God. And Lord God, I pray that you would anoint our lips to bring forth this word. In Christ's holy name I pray, amen. Growing up, we sang the song, "Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little ears, what you hear." We sometimes forget that. As a Christian, we have to speak life into every situation. We have the opportunity to build people up or to tear people down. We have the opportunity to direct our path into another's path. If you understand that, I think this will help you in a way that only God can help you. I was working a job. Now, this is not anything that she has wrote down here, but I was working in this job, and I'm not going to say the company, but I love the company. I love the food that they produce. I love the atmosphere that they have there. A real good Christian environment, well known in the Christian faith. I just was getting real down in my walk with God. And I was being pulled away from church. I was being pulled away from my walk with God because I was more focused on trying to make my career there at Chick-fil-A. And so I ultimately left for a better opportunity that would give me more time to be in church, to be in my ministry, to be working in my ministry, to be walking in my ministry, to be directing people and helping people, because that's what God's called us to do. We're not called to stand just solely behind a pulpit, but we're called to help the need, the needy. We are called to go and pray for the sick and visit the sick. And so I was being pulled away from church, and I could feel my anointing that God is the anointing that God has placed on my life. I was feeling it just being pulled and sucked away from me, and I was really, honestly, I was feeling down because I felt like I failed God. I failed God in every way possible, because I set out to do the right thing. I set out to be in ministry. I set out to do what the Bible says, because the Bible says if a man don't work, he don't eat. And you know, in today's society, that dollar bill makes the world go round, because you have to pay your light bill, you got to pay your water bill, you got to pay your phone bill, you got to pay your car notes, your car insurance, you got to all these bills that have to be paid, and you can't do that without money. But that's what the devil does. And she titled this as boxes, and this illustration has just stuck in my mind, and I just hope that it helps you. She says, our life is like a box. And if you could just close your eyes and just imagine an empty cardboard box, and you wrote on a piece of tape, my life. We start off life with the basic necessities, family and God. From the ages of 1 to the age of about 3 years old, your whole focus is your family. Your friends are your family. Your siblings are your best friends. You need your family to survive the first 3 years of your life. Your box is not completely full. By the time you hit the age of 4, between the ages of 4 and 8, the rest of your life, but between the ages of 4 and 10, you will make your bestest of friends. So now you start adding to your box. You have your extracurricular activities such as softball, baseball, football, soccer, this, that, and the other. But you have to make room inside of this cardboard box. So you have to take what you have in your box, which is family and church, / your relationship with God. Okay? You have to take those two big things. So imagine a box, a cardboard box, and you have two little cardboard boxes. It's taking up the whole thing. All right, you have to now take that out, and you have to cut a little bit off. You got to make the family box just a little bit smaller, and you got to make your church box just a little bit smaller. Because now you have to make room for your soccer or your football or whatever you want, whatever you're doing. You have to make room for that in your box. And now you have to make room for your friends and your schoolwork, because between the ages of 4 and 10, you're going from kindergarten all the way through the 5th grade. By the time you make it to age 11, your box is now adding more and more stuff, because you've made more friends, because you've taken on more responsibilities at school, because you've jumped into clubs, and you've you have added to your extracurricular responsibilities, such as going and drawing out the lines on the softball field, or you know, helping coach, you know, clean the uniforms, or better yet, your chores at home are now affecting your relationship with God. All of these things are pulling you away from the main thing in your life, which should be Christ. Christ is, should be the center of our life. That I tell my people whenever I marry them that if you do not build your relationship on Christ, you cannot do anything. You cannot make it past a certain point. You can do it for a little while. God gives us that ability to do things for a little while, only to realize, hey, idiot, we need God. We need Him in every aspect of our lives. So now we're at the ages of 11 and 18. 18, most of us are graduated high school and we're done. We're in a relationship now with the one that we think is the sun, the moon, and the stars. We started a career. Or we started our little part-time job, shall we say. Somewhere between the ages of 15 and 17, we start working at places such as Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, Wendy's, little minimum wage jobs. And we finish high school with our Boaz by our side, as she wrote down. And we're set out to make the world. We are more involved in our church because, you know, we realize that Christ is our everything, and we're gonna give the devil a black eye every day that we wake up. We're gonna change our world. We have set our minds on that, but this box that we have is only big enough for so much. This box that we have is only big enough for so much. But then we start realizing that we got fake friends over here that will drown us and will pull us down and will keep us from our calling that God has called us to. And then we have our family. We got our church. That's everything to us. And we have our church friends. We have our friends that's going to stand on the sidelines of our Christian walk, and they're saying, "You can do this. We got you. We'll support you." Then you enter into college, and your high school friends soon just start to disappear, and you still have your coworkers, and you have your people at church, and you have your family. So your life is still basically the same. Basically the same as it was in high school, except now you're in college. And you go through 4 years of college, and you make lifelong friends in college. You graduate, you get a job in the field that you studied in, and you got new coworkers. You leave that minimum wage job to go work and make the big dollars. Your boss comes in on a Monday morning saying, "We're short-staffed. I need you here on Wednesday night, and I need you here next Sunday." You say, "Well, I really don't want to miss church. So I'll only do it this weekend. I'll only do it this weekend, boss." Okay? He says, "That's fine. We'll make sure that you're off next Sunday." And you say, "Okay, that's fine. I'm okay missing Wednesday night because that's Bible study night. Pastor isn't going to be doing anything. And a lot of times somebody else speaks on Wednesday nights. It's not even pastor. So he really doesn't care. I just need to make it there on Sunday mornings." You begin to take Christ and you take Him out and you put Him in a smaller box. You put your career in a slightly bigger box in your church. You put your family in a slightly smaller box as well, because you start cutting things out of your life. In just a moment, I'm going to bring out the danger of cutting Christ out of our box. So now we're married. And we're having kids. And our career is pulling us now away from our family that we've started. And Christ is now no longer the center of my life. He's just a pinpoint. He's just a little grain of sand in this hourglass that we call life. This box, my box is only big enough. You're now at the age of 30. 2 kids, a husband, a career, you have in-laws and your family. You have your church that you claim to be a member of, but you're not active in ministry in your church. But then you start to have doubts in your mind. Did I really make the right choice? This job is so stressful. I cannot take it any longer. Your husband or your wife begins to be distant from you. And the devil begins to plant things in your mind because you're not in the Word of God every day like you were whenever you were younger. Because you're not in church like you used to be. You're not active in children's ministry. You're not active in the youth ministry. You're not active in the music ministry. You're not active in your church. Because you made a pinpoint of your life as your career, as a nurse, as a accountant, as whatever it is, as a welder, as a boilermaker, as an electrician, whatever it is that you're doing, you made a pinpoint on your life as that is my focus, that is my goal. But we fail to remember that this life is but a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. But eternity is forever. The Bible says that one day in heaven is equivalent to 1,000 years. 1,000 years. But we're down here for 50, 60, 70, 80 years, possibly 90. And we focus on that career for just 90 years that we fail to remember that eternity is on the other side of the grave. That eternity is what we're here for. That we have to make up our mind today that eternity is what's going to happen once we die. That time here on earth is just for a period in time. Kind of like that minimum wage job that we had whenever we were in high school. And we failed to remember that eternity with Christ is right around the corner. We now have to take our box and dump it out and say only the necessities go in my box. Only the necessities can live in my life. And my necessity is my family first, my God first, my family second, and then everything else afterwards. But my family and God has to come before anything. Because if you don't, the enemy will speak lies into your life. The enemy will speak lies upon you, and you will quickly begin to believe them. You'll believe that your spouse is having an affair. You'll believe that your spouse is lying to you. You'll believe that your coworkers are out to stab you in the back. You'll have no peace in your life if you put God second or third or fourth in your life to anything. Ministry, your ministry has to go on. God gives us all a ministry. It might not be standing behind a pulpit. It might not be in the music ministry. It might be simply bringing a case of water to church. Or it might be as simple as coming and cleaning the church. Scrubbing the toilets. That's where I always like to point it out at. If you can't scrub the toilets, you can't be in the altar praying, seeing people through to the Holy Ghost. If you cannot vacuum the floors, you cannot be leading people to Christ. But our box that we have in our life, we begin to remold it and reshape it to fit our ministry. We begin to see the anointing come back into our lives. We begin to see everything fall into place just like it should be. We now realize that, hey, my husband or my wife has been faithful to me. That they weren't having an affair. That my coworkers aren't out to stab me in the back. And I'm not out to stab them in the back. I'm not having an affair. I'm not having a relationship in, you know, these things that the enemy begin to set up in our lives whenever our box was focused around a career has now been destroyed. The lies have been destroyed because you have made a focus. You have made it up in your mind. You have made your box ready for Christ. You have said, you have made it up and you have said, here it is, God. I am all yours. I'm ready for you to use me. Nothing else but you in my life. I might not have brought it out quite like my friend did. But she also had a testimony that I'm going to share with y'all. She said, I was working in a hospital. And it was really, really stressful. At first, I enjoyed it. I graduated college, valedictorian of my class. And I made it a focus that I was going to have the best job in Rapides Parish. I'm going to be the best nurse that Rapides General, I'm sorry, Cabrini Hospital. I believe I said that. Maybe I didn't. That I'm going to be the best nurse in that hospital. I set out with that goal in mind. As soon as I graduated college, I got the job that I wanted. I was working in my church. I was on the worship team. I was director of the children's ministry. I was active in my church. I had a fiance. I had dated him for 2 years. And he proposed to me right before I graduated. And I got this job, the job of my dreams. About 2 years passes by. I keep pushing my wedding off because I was so focused on my job that when they would call me, I would drop everything that I was doing to get to my job. I quickly began to realize that I was missing revivals, that I was missing youth rallies, that I was missing all the marks that I used to have whenever I was in high school and in college. I then, after about a year and a half, I realized that I had not gone to Sunday morning service with my fiance at our church. I went and nobody knew who I was. Everybody thought that I was a guest in our church. A church that I grew up in. My job began to be very stressful. My relationship with my fiance was not what it was supposed to be. And I thought, now, I know he's being taken care of by somebody else. Somebody else is sitting across from him at dinner. Somebody else is going to the movies with him. I just know it. I just knew it. I knew it in my mind. Y'all, I'm sorry if I'm getting emotional, because it's getting to the good part. She said I had to reevaluate my life. About 1:30 in the morning on a Friday night, I was sitting at my desk at work. And I had a pie chart in front of me, and I began to put in all the hours that I spent at home, all of the hours that I spent at work, and all the hours that I spent in my Bible, praying and fasting. And the results begin to play heavy and fall heavy on my heart. She said, I spend 94% of the time at my job, at my work. She said, I also spent only 0.5% of the time in the Bible, in my word, in prayer and in fasting. 0.5% of my time. She said, the other percentage I spent at home, which didn't amount to nothing. She said, I began to cry and I began to ask God to forgive me for my shortcomings in my ministry and that I needed Him to help me. She said, I made up in my mind that I was done with this job, that my ministry was coming first. She said, in a matter of 2 months, everything was restored. She said she began to spend more time in her word. She began to spend more time praying and fasting. That she said her anointing came back. She was able to sing, that people quickly remembered who she was in her church. Her and her fiancé are now married. At the time that she wrote this, she said that they're now married. She's only spending 45 hours a week at work. The rest of the time, she's at the church and at home. She says she's made it now, where Christ is the center of her life, that she spends 50 hours a week planning, practicing, and preparing her lessons for the church. Let me tell you something. Based off of what she has right here, God blesses those and honors commitment, honors sacrifice in our life. He knows that the day and the age that we live in, we have every distraction on every hand. But we have to make a commitment to Him. Because eternity's on the other side of this door. The Bible says He's standing at the door knocking. He's standing at the door knocking. For all who would let Him. For anyone who would let Him in. And today I hope this podcast just sits in your soul. I know it's a bit all over the place. But this is edifying to me. As I'm sitting here and I'm recording this, the heaviness on my heart, the heaviness on my chest is just overwhelming. Because I did the same thing in my walk with God. I did the same thing that I had to remember. I had to go back to my first love. I had to go back to where it all started at, with God, with Christ. So today I'm encouraging you to take a look at your box that you call life. Find out what's in your life that's keeping you from fulfilling the purpose, from giving you peace in your life, from giving you joy in your life, from keeping you from your anointing. And if I can, I would love to pray with you that God would just restore unto you everything that the enemy has stolen from you because you believed that a career was going to get you everything that you wanted in life. That has hindered you from receiving the Holy Ghost, that has hindered you from praying with people through to the Holy Ghost, from laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. I want to pray with you. Send me a message so I can add you to this prayer list that I have right here in front of me. And I've started it so that way at the top of it are shortcomings prayer lists. Because we've all coming, this is what you call coming short of the mark, coming short of what God has for you. And I want to pray that you not only come, not just meet the goal, but exceed the goal that God has for you today. I love you, and I pray that this podcast blesses you. Were you blessed by this podcast? We pray that you were. If you would like some more encouraging posts, check us out on Facebook at Pentecostal Fire Ministry. You can also message us on there with all of your prayer requests, needs, and any questions or comments you would like to make about this podcast. Thank you and have a blessed day.